celebrating 28 years, playing the best music.
WTBQ, Warwick, Florida.
Well, today it's not about the music. It is about the Board of Education, the budget vote taking place Tuesday, May the 16th. In Warwick, we're going to meet the candidates. Round two here now, the other three candidates. There are six people running. You've already heard from three of them. Let's hear from the final three. We do have Dory Masefield, who is with us. We have Luis Abramson and Angel. Is it Masonette?
Yes,
Masonette. All right, so we got all three of these folks in here today. We're going to ask similar questions, if not the same, maybe not in the same order, but we're going to start off with question number one, which is basically an introduction. And can you please introduce yourself briefly? Please introduce your profession. How long have you been in the district? And any community organizations that you have participated in? We'll go from left to right, and we'll keep changing as we go along. Dory, we'll let you take us off first.
Excellent. Hi. Hello, everybody. I'm Dory Masefield. I've been a resident of the Warwick School District for 21 years. I had three children that went through the district and graduated from Warwick. I'm currently a school teacher, a middle school science and math teacher at Tuxedo Park School. I teach grades 5 through 9. I also coach volleyball and an advisor for the 8th grade. I also, during the summers, I work at a summer camp that I helped found, and I'm an instructor. It's Earth Camp. It builds character and confidence in campers through ecology and artistry and horsemanship. Within the Warwick community, I've been involved in a lot of different aspects. When my kids were students here, I was very active in the PIE program, and I helped establish the gardens that are behind Sanfordville School. And I was every week in the classrooms helping do enrichment for math and science. I was also really active as a soccer coach in the rec program, and then for a long time worked with a travel team all the way up through U19 with my daughter. Currently, I'm active in the Orange County Arts Council, and I like to support their activities, and am also a member there, and also the Warwick Historical Society. I try to attend all their events and support all those great efforts that go on within the community.
Now, of the three that are in with us right now, you are an incumbent. How long have you been on the board?
I've been on the board for 9 years, 3 terms so far.
Okay, very good. All right, so that is Dory Masefield. Let's go to Luis Abramson. Same question. Tell us a bit about yourself, including what you do for work, actually. How long have you resided in the community, and any organizations that you're kind of involved with?
Sure. I've been living in Warwick for 14 years now, going on 15. I have a wonderful wife, which we've been married for 25 years now. And we have two beautiful children, a 16-year-old that graduated from the Warwick School District, as well as a 8-year-old on the autism spectrum. Both my kids have had 504 and IEP plans. I currently run a cancer organization. Back when I was running in 2020, I was diagnosed with cancer, and that propelled me to found that organization. And we work with many hospitals and provide services to the community. I sit on multiple boards. You can see it on the Warwick page. One of them is the Department of Aging and Disabilities out of St. Mary College. And in Mount Sinai, I also am in an advisory board there for cancer patients. I was a former New York State PTA diversity chair for the state. I've experienced both in advocating in Albany, as well as I've done resolutions for this very county, Orange County, and worked a lot with the legislative body as well. It's been a beautiful experience to move up to from New York City up here. It was one of my goals was to have a place where my children can grow and be in a safer environment. And one of the things that I'm really passionate about is children with special needs, as well as being an advocate for the community. And I've had the pleasure of working with the school superintendent in the past, and which I'm very grateful to work with him in the past. And it's been a incredible, you know, trajectory, and that's what's brought me to here today.
All right, that is Luis Abramson, and let's do our third candidate in the room with us right now. Angel Masonette is here, and I'm going to ask you the same question to kind of introduce yourself briefly and tell everybody out there your profession, how long you've resided here in this district, and any organizations that you have participated in.
Okay, hello everyone. My name is Angel Masonette. I am a Warwick resident for 17 years. I have three children that graduated from the Warwick School District. I'm a retired NYPD detective. I was also on the FBI-NYPD Joint Terrorism Task Force. I currently am employed by one of the largest utilities, public utilities in the Northeast. I'm a department manager in charge of investigations and tactical operations. I am in charge of teaching active shooter and developing active shooter protocol for my company, which has about 14,000 employees. I was a coach on the Warwick freshman football team. We went undefeated in 2017. I have been the host of two Back to Blue rallies in Warwick, and I also hosted a rally when detectives Wenjin Liu and Ramos were assassinated in 2014. I held a candlelight vigil for them, and we had about 200 people come out. So as we know, Warwick is full of policemen and firemen, firefighters. And that's about me.
All right. Sounds good. Speaking now with Angel Masonette, we're going to go back now and go around the room, this time with Luis Abramson, starting off first with this question. What strategies or approaches do you believe the school board can use to provide a high quality education to the students while being financially responsible to all the taxpayers that are in the community?
Well, first of all, I think that the school team does do a good overall assessment of the budget. They've been pretty good and consistent of not increasing at too much. Where I think that we need to emphasize and build on is on our early, not in our intellectual disabilities group, and special needs education. We currently contract a provider that is not meeting our needs, while different areas like in Cornwall, Walk Hill, Newburgh, Middletown, and Minisec have a much better contractor, which I had the privilege of attending for 3 years when I took my my young child with autism from Warwick to Ellenville. We need that robust training of our aides, which need training for special needs to work with them. And we need programs for parent training, support groups, you know, and how we budget that is by using, you know, what's available already through governmental areas like the Social Security, disabilities, OPPWD, you know, that all have access to services that once these, many of these children are diagnosed and through developmental needs can help with these services to provide and not increase any of the budgetary need. So we need to really start collaborating with outside agencies, because if we do that, We won't be increasing the school budget, but we'll be enhancing and providing a much better future for our students, especially those who often are forgotten and are not placed in a situation where they have inclusion. So I think that, to me, that is very pivotal because I live it every day. I have a child with autism. I know what it is to be in that situation. I know what it is to go through the whole pathway. I sat at boards and represented this. So that is one of the situations that I think that we could really harness on. And I think that the budget, I don't feel, will be affected by adding these services to the school district.
All right, that is Luis. Angel, we'll ask you the same question. What strategies or approaches do you believe the school board can use to provide a high-quality education to the kids in the school, but also being financially responsible to taxpayers that are in the community?
I think that a large component that is ignored, right? We saw what happened in Pine Bush last week, where they had a lockdown because they thought there was an active shooter on campus. I think the insider threat part of it needs to be addressed. I think we need to put more money towards mental health of the kids, right? They lost a lot during COVID. They had a lot of isolation, a lot of loneliness, and in turn, they've suffered from some mental problems, right? So I think that while physical security, which is basically, you know, my bread and butter, is important, I think that we need to worry about the mental health of all the children in the district. And it doesn't matter which way you lean, left, right, or center. I think we need to keep the cesspool of politics out of the classroom. And I think we need to use our resources and direct them towards our children's mental health first and foremost.
All righty, now we're going to go to Dory and the same question. What strategies or approaches do you believe the school board can use to provide a high-quality education to the students while being financially responsible to the taxpayers of our community?
That's a great question. I've been on the board for 9 years now, and in that time, we have continued to build the reputation of the Warwick schools by enhancing education and by keeping focus on a portrait of a graduate that we established several years ago. That was established through community input, input from parents and input from students, as well as teachers and administrators, that keeps us focused on the direction that we want to go with our school district. Currently, the Warwick School Districts, we are increasing our enrollment. People choose Warwick because we've done a good job with that. I think we've shown through the actions we've taken in the last years how important it is to put aside special interests and to work toward the best interest of all students. And having a direction and a goal in that is really important. The board has certain goals that we're always working towards when we're making decisions, when we're evaluating programs, and when we're, so we follow that strategic path that's been set by not just school board members, but with input from the whole community, input from parents and administrators that guides our decisions on how to best spend those tax dollars.
All right, we're speaking with three of the candidates this hour. Dory Masefield, we have Luis Abramson, and Angel Masonette is with us. We're going to talk more with them when we come back. We'll take a quick break, come back here. Don't forget to get out there and vote Tuesday, May the 16th. Polls open 7 a.m. and they go till 9 p.m.
Getting stuck on your path to achieving, feeling frustrated you're not where you want to be, or maybe you don't even know how to start. Hi, I'm John C. Morley, serial entrepreneur and your coach, experienced in NLP, hypnosis, and I've helped many in their personal and business lives create the life they've always wanted. When you choose to work with me, I make it easy and have you take baby steps, which become part of your daily routine. You don't even know you're taking them. Join me for our next JCM Academy Masterclass at jcmacademy.eventbrite.com. I look forward to seeing you there, everyone.
The Eddie Perez Group at Compass is led by an 18-year luxury property broker, Eddie Perez, and his partner, Mary Jane DiNardo. Eddie and Mary Jane and their team of professionals' first priority is their clients and the luxury lifestyle they desire. As your agents, they'll also sell your luxury home in a timely fashion, as the Eddie Perez Group has exclusive access to highly qualified global clientele whose mission is to help everyone find their place in the world in style. For an appointment, contact Eddie and Mary Jane at eddieperezgroup.com.
I'm John C. Morley, and I'll inspire you every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on my weekly show, Inspirations for Your Life. Tune in, and you'll go from wishing to be the best to actually being the best. I'll help you make the impossible possible. Radio worth listening to. WTBQ.
Meeting the candidates today, we are talking with Warwick Valley Central School District candidates and getting ready for the education budget vote coming up on Tuesday, May the 16th. And with us today, it is Dory, Luis, and Angel. And we're going to start off this question with Angel. We'd like to know what motivated you to run for a position on the Board of Education.
Well, being the being where I came from, right, I was raised by a single mom. I'm a Puerto Rican kid from the Bronx. I moved to Warwick to give my kids a better opportunity at a good education. I realized how important it is for parents to be involved in the education of their children, to be involved in curriculum decisions, to be involved in how children are taught, what's being taught to them, and have a say in keeping, again, the politics away from the children and just teaching the curriculum. My reason for running with the recent uptick in the active shooter attacks and the school shooting attacks in this country, I believe that every child deserves to go to school and not worry about getting killed, right? That's the biggest thing for me. I want our children and their parents to feel safe when they are in school. We are in small town USA. These attacks are happening in small town USA. I think that we become complacent in this community and in communities like this across the country. And I think it's important that we address whatever holes there are, whatever vulnerabilities they may be, in the physical protection of our children.
Angel Masonette, we're going to go now to Dory Masefield, and I guess we'll change the question just a little bit. What is actually motivating you now? You've been 9 years on the board. What is motivating you to stay on that Board of Education?
Well, I'm running for re-election because I want to continue to work to improve the educational experience for all the students here in the district, and to build on that legacy. I mean, during the time that I've been on the board, I've collaborated with a lot of different people to enact different policies that have resulted in Warwick becoming an exemplary district. And we've done that by always putting our students first. And that path was purposeful. It was based on strategic planning and multi-year effort, looking at what the best way was to approach education in our district. And we've done a lot of things that have been pivotal in doing that. We've brought career and technical education programs back into our schools. We've established multiple pathways for graduation so that we can meet the needs of all students. We've overseen safety upgrades to the school buildings to create safe and secure learning environments, such as the lobbies on the middle school and the high school that limit access to the building. We've built the largest school-operated solar farm in the state. And we've incorporated environmental literacy into our curriculum, working with the Children's Educational Literacy Foundation and doing professional development with our teachers. During my tenure, we accomplished this while keeping the taxes below the cap by planning ahead, by looking for non-tax revenue, and also by maintaining diligent fiscal responsibility. And I'm running for re-election because I want to continue this positive path that the school district has been on and to continue to build on this.
All right, that is Dory Masefield. We're going to go to Luis Abramson right now and ask the same question. What motivated you to run for a position on the Board of Education?
Well, like many parents, they have children on the spectrum or any disability. We want a voice on the board. You know, we want a parent that can identify with the situations that we're going through, that can have a insight into what we're seeing, what education is being provided to our children. You know, in 2018, I was blessed that 3 years prior to that, or in between that, I was taking my son to a high-end educational center where he had a full day with ABA, PT, OT, music therapy, programs that are many times not all encompassed in a public school setting. When I attended the support groups, the parent groups, when I came back with such an education from that when I came back, the first thing that I did was I started getting parents together. I found even a possible company that was coming in and wanted to, you know, be an additional source, you know, although that did not, you know, was able to get established. I was able to work with the school superintendent, Dr. Leach, and our elected officials and our and Pulse Advocacy Group, which is run by a good friend of mine, Kathy Gill. And we were able to, you know, look at, okay, so what can we do now? Okay, so we got a 12-1-8 program now in Sanfordville, which is a great path forward. You know, we have a PT, we have what you call a center program that provides PT, speech, OT. You know, we do have a consultant. I would tell you that sometimes everything is experimental, right? You know, sometimes you hire a consultant with the mindset that consultant would be the right one for us. But in this point in juncture, I myself I am a parent that has a child in that program, and I have an IEP and a 504. And for the past 3 years, I've been asking for a parent training, which is already part of the program, and I'm still waiting for that training. When it comes to law enforcement, which I have a background in law enforcement, the special investigations for NYPD, one of the things that we need also are that the police is trained. So the SROs need to be trained with working with autism children. This is something that I have already piloted and spoke with our Warwick police chief. So we really do need to, you know, emphasize on that. And to me, I think that's to me is a very important aspect. And that's why I'm running, because I would like to bring that difference of a voice into the school board. And I would like to advocate for the parents and tell parents that there is somebody that shares that common goal and wants to help the school move to the next step so that our children have an actual pathway into college, even though they have intellectual disabilities.
All right, that is Luis Abramson there with his comments on that question. As we move on to the next question, some of these may be a little bit redundant. You might have answered a bit of this in some of the things we've been talking about. Once again, the questions are not made up by us. They were handed to us to air on the air today. So we're going to go with question number four for you guys. Can you describe your previous experience working with children, schools, or education systems, and how do you believe this experience is going to benefit you being a member of the Board of Education? Dory, you're up on this one.
Hi, thank you. My first experience is I've been a mother for over 30 years, and I'm also a lifelong educator. I have been in education since I was working on a master's degree in environmental science and working on some of the issues surrounding climate change. And one of the conclusions that I came to was that the best way to have a positive impact on the world around you was to work with kids and to go into education. I was living in the state of Maine at that point and am certified as a teacher in the public schools in both math and science and secondary schools in Maine. When I moved to Warwick, I began working. My kids went through the PI program. So I was working with helping out in some of the classrooms. I helped to establish the garden that's behind Sanfordville School that's still being used today. And I was doing math and science enrichment in the classrooms at the Warwick schools. Currently, I'm a teacher, so I'm teaching middle school and high school kids at a private school. And not only am I teaching, I'm also a coach, and I'm an advisor, and I'm a chair of the science department. And I'm continually going through professional development to learn what the best pedagogy is for approaching education and for how to best meet the needs of all students that we are dealing with in all environments. I've also worked with kids extensively as a coach through the Warwick Soccer Club program with both the rec program and the travel program. So I feel like it's been my choice all my life to work with kids and to find the best way to inspire kids and to nourish kids and to educate them.
That is Dory, and now we'll ask the same question to Luis on this one. It's, can you describe your previous experience working with children, schools, or the education system, and how do you believe the experience is going to benefit you as a member on the Board of Education?
Sure. So I got several experiences. One foremost, I'm a dad that has, when he retired, driven a child with autism when he was just starting his journey in early intervention. I've had plenty of parent training and support group training with one of the most high-end centers, with the Center for Spectrum in Ellenville, who's also a school consultant team. And on top of that, I am in a team for Mount St. Mary called Proactive Caring. And I've sat, I also have in Life Plan New York CCO as an advisor, advisory position, where we made policies for care coordination for the very young as well as the adult. I have been a volunteer of the rec program when I first moved down here for approximately 4 years, you know. And so I have a very unique experience with working with children and parents alike. I also went with the not-for-profit that I started. We've done a successful, we're up to the second year now with a sensory Christmas for children, as well as a sensory Easter for children, serving the deaf, the blind, and the children on the spectrum. So to me, you know, this is a very special side of me that people don't know. And so, yeah, I believe that our children need that emphasis on empathy, and they need that emphasis on inclusion. Those are the areas that I believe that I have that I can show my experience, especially as well as being a father in the community and being an advocate for children.
All right, Luis, thank you very much. Angel, the same question, describing your previous experience working with children, schools, or the education system, and how you believe their experience in the past is going to benefit you being a member on the Board of Education.
So first and foremost, I'm a father, right? I have two sons and a daughter, all who graduated from Warwick Schools, as I stated. Being a dad taught me a lot. Right. I also coached peewee football in Warwick, and I was, like I stated earlier, the freshman football, one of the freshman football coaches in 2017. All the kids in the school during the time that I was coaching, they knew me. especially obviously the football players. I was always giving them advice on how to stay out of trouble, talking to them about vaping, talking to them about drug use, drinking and driving, things of that nature. I always spoke to them about situational awareness, things that would keep them safe. Right. Again, I'm safety driven. Right. This is why I'm here. When I was a patrol cop in the Bronx, I was a patrol cop for 12 years before I became a detective. I had many schools in my beat. Right. On patrol, I would always go to calls of kids in crisis or, you know, disputes and things of that nature, family disputes. Right. I was always I was known to be a calming force when I responded to these things. I always took the time out to speak to these children, to get down at their level, whether it was to get down on one knee or actually sit on the floor and speak to them and talk them down, right? Whether they were having a mental health crisis or they were in a bad situation with their parents or at school. So I used to also go to the local schools. I actually attended Dodge Vocational High School, which was within the beat where I did patrol. I spoke at several assemblies, spoke to the kids again about, you know, about making it, right? About how a Puerto Rican kid from the Bronx who was on welfare, raised by a single mother, became a police officer because I believed in myself and I believed in the American dream. And I believed that I could achieve that with no excuses, right? With no handouts. And I preached that to these kids. That was a big message that I conveyed and that I continue to convey to children. Safety, security, situational awareness, and believing in themselves.
All right, we just heard from Angel Masonette along with Dory Macefield and Luis Abramson, and we're going to continue talking. It's all about the Warwick Valley Central School District, a big vote coming up on May the 16th. That is a Tuesday, so mark that on your calendar. We'll take a break. We're going to come back, and we'll continue with these three candidates out of the six. Right here, WTBQ.
It's no secret that people are keeping their vehicles longer and driving them further than ever before. That's why at Leo Cadis Ford, every new and certified pre-owned vehicle we sell includes a lifetime and unlimited mileage powertrain warranty. Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Honda, we have them all. Any dealership can offer you 0%. Any dealership can talk about their great selection, but only Leo Cadis Ford can offer you the Cadis Advantage. As long as you own your vehicle, we have you covered. Engine, turbocharger, transmission, transfer case, and the drive system. And looking for service? Let our state-of-the-art service department take care of you with old-time values. With our tire price guarantee, we guarantee you the best price around. Need some time to pay? No problem. Take up to 6 months with the Ford Service Card. Every vehicle is sanitized both before and after we work on it. Cars really do cost less at Cadis. Leo Cadis Ford. Quality you can trust. Warwick, New York.
Silvio's Restaurant and Martini Bar is where you'll dine in an elegantly restored 18th century mansion. Silvio's elegant atmosphere includes an artistic martini bar, terrazzo gardens, or choose a place by the fireside. Reserve your table and feast on the finest farm-to-table menu in the Hudson Valley. Choose Silvio's and they'll customize to fit your party and budget, whether at Silvio's or at your place. You'll find Silvio's at Route 94 South in Warwick. Visit silviosvilla.com.
This is Jeff Berkman, and I invite you to tune in to the Wednesday Morning Roundtable on Radio Worth Listening to, New Jersey and Orange Free Radio. Free to express your opinions every Wednesday at 10 a.m.
WTBQ.
Meeting the candidates here today with you, and we have three of them with us right now, Dory, Luis, and Angel. And we're going to ask a question of Luis, starting us off this round. And the question is going to be, when making decisions related to matters like curriculum, teaching methods, and programs, what principles or objectives do you think should be the driving force for the Board of Education and the school district leadership?
Well, we've been blessed, really, because when it comes to the Gen Ed, there's no question. Warwick is one of the best schools. But I have to say that, you know, we need to work harder with the special education department. Special Education Department right now needs tremendous oversight. You know, right now, you know, when I was, you know, walking around, you know, getting my signatures, you know, I was bumping into parents, you know, with, you know, stories that, you know, it left me stunned, you know, to say the least. And obviously, as I said, you know, I'm not receiving parent training, but we are paying for a company to come in and serve it. You know, we're paying for that to also support our class, classroom, support the teacher. You know, so you know our aides in that classroom also need that training because it's a component in order to run an effective curriculum, ABA based. You have to have all the components. You know, you know because if not, you know the student. It's not going to reach the milestones that they need to reach. And I think that is something that is so critically important. And if we have schools in this county right now who have a better provider, and I'm going to say the provider, Open Mic, Center for Spectrum, then why doesn't our school have Center for Spectrum? You know, why we have a provider that doesn't even have a school base and a research into it, and why are we not contracting that? Because we have to move the needle to a more effective program. You know, when we get our children who Dr. Leach himself said, pedagogy. Many different ways of learning. When we get a student who has difficulties learning in one way or another, whether it be neurologically or non, we have to find the way to better educate. And with that comes the programming that comes built into the school. So as a board member, if I was to be elected, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to start looking into these programs, and I'm going to ask. Let's send out a review by parents to see what they have to say about the effectiveness, because we shouldn't be using a sensory room to be the all in all every time that a child has a behavior, because that's what the ABA is supposed to address. But when it's not properly built into the school, and the support is put into there, then that's where we start having these problems. So I believe that a curriculum that is supportive to students is the best way to go forward, and that's how I see a curriculum going forward with the team, and I'm willing to be a advocate and a support to my school board.
All right, Angel, the same question to you. When making decisions related to matters like curriculum, teaching methods, and programs, what principles or objectives do you think should be the driving force for the Board of Education and the school district leadership?
I think that parents should be involved in the curriculum, developing the curriculum, moving forth on how the curriculum is taught. I think that a big thing is keeping politics out of the classroom. Like I said earlier, it's with the state of the world today, there's no civil discourse. You know, it's a cesspool of you know, name calling and bad things, right? So we need teachers to teach. Keep their politics and personal views out of the classroom, including their bedfellows, you know, who they love, how they love. And it doesn't matter if you're left, right, center. It doesn't matter, right? Teach the curriculum. Keep the politics away from our children. Allow the parents to be involved in teaching, in deciding what is taught. And, you know, stay focused. Stay focused and make the focus our children and their education, not ingratiating them or radicalizing them or indoctrinating them into a certain view. It needs to be curriculum, the subjects that we need to teach, and keep everything else away from our children and keep them protected from all the dirty politics that are going on in this country right now.
Thank you, Angel. Dory, the question is, when making decisions related to matters like curriculum, teaching methods, and programs, what principles or objectives do you think should be the driving force for the Board of Education and the school district leadership?
I think there has to be a school board member has to be prepared to have a lot of different objectives in mind when we're making decisions. The current board has been very effective at balancing the different aspects that we have to make decisions and to establish curriculum, to establish teaching methods and programs. We do that by keeping in mind the board goals that we've set. We keep in mind the portrait of the graduate that we are hoping to get all of our students to through the programs that we're enacting. That's one of the reasons that evidence that we're a highly functional board is that the Warwick schools have such an excellent reputation within the county and within our region. We've done that by focusing on developing graduates that have the ability to collaborate. We have programs that focus on communication, on being creators and innovators. We have programs for civic discourse, looking at helping our students become ethical and global citizens, helping them to become resilient individuals, to be problem solvers and lifelong learners themselves. Keeping this in mind, your goals in mind, help drive where you're going to put your dollars and how they're going to be most best spent, depending on what programs you're looking. You have to keep in mind everybody's interests and always have the students first. I agree with Angel, and not to be allowing politics or any of the dirt to be coming into it. That's why, as a board, you always have to stay focused on the students.
All right. The next question, we'll start with Angel on this one. If elected, what two areas would you prioritize, and what plans do you have to address these priorities?
Physical security and the mental health and well-being of our students. By physical security, listen, this is my bread and butter again. I teach active shooter protocol at the company I work for now. I develop active shooter protocol, workplace violence. I believe that we can do this effectively by having mitigation teams, right? Crisis teams that include psychiatrists, parents, educators, right? Law enforcement, everybody, once you identify a threat, just identifying the threat and, ostracizing the kid or making the kid feel like more of an outsider is not going to help, right? At times that leads to a more violent sort of, volatile situation. I think mitigation teams will lead to a better identification of kids that are in crisis, right? Because our schools need physical protection from the outside. But again, as I mentioned in the beginning, there's also the question of the insider threat, right? There's a question of the kid who's being bullied and comes to school. These kids cannot escape bullying. When we were kids, you know, we had our sanctuary, right? We can go home and escape it. Now, social media follows these kids, and these kids are taking their lives at alarming rates. So I think physical security, doing vulnerability assessments, and again, the mental health and well-being of all of our children, whether we agree or disagree on politics, whether we agree or disagree on anything else outside of the classroom, one thing we all can agree on is that we all want our children to be safe, secure, and mentally mental stability and mental health well-being, moving forward into adulthood so they can be productive, empathetic, and fantastic citizens.
Thank you, Angel. Dory, if reelected, which two areas would you prioritize and what plans do you have to address those priorities?
If I'm reelected, an overall goal is just to really maintain the progress that we've made in providing quality education to all of the students at Warwick. And there's so many different aspects that come into that, maintaining the security of the physical buildings that we're educating them in, keeping in mind fiscal responsibility in terms of increasing the efficiency of facilities so that we're able to reduce costs. I think two of my highest priorities are to continue to attract and then to retain the best teachers and the best administrators, because regardless of how good your goals are or how what your ideas are if you don't have the actual people on the ground in the classrooms and in the offices who are able to enact the policy that you set, then it doesn't help you get to your goal. Program is only as good as those who are making the day-to-day decisions. And that means having teachers that have the best background that they can, that have our students as their priority. The district has to have a transparency in an environment that supports the teachers, and also then a lot of professional development opportunities so that they can continue to improve their craft, how they can continue to know how to deal with all of our students, including those with special needs. One of my priorities, my second, is really to find a way to enhance civic discourse. I think it's really apparent to all of us that we live in a world that's very divided. The way to make progress is we have to be able to listen. We have to be able to collaborate with people from all backgrounds and not just react to the loudest voices. I think it's really important to incorporate meaningful opportunities for students into the curriculum to develop civic knowledge and skills so that they can have, as part of their educational experience here in Warwick, opportunities to participate in authentic experiences in civic discourse so they can prepare to be productive participants in our communities, and not just in our communities, our state and our country. I think learning how to have civic discourse is one of the important things, most important things that we have to keep in mind and we have to have available to our students.
All right, thank you, Dory. Luis, we're going to ask you the same question. If elected, what two areas would you prioritize and what plans do you have to address those priorities?
Special education combined with mental health, because they come one of the same. And when I say that, it's because for the majority of both the parents and the students with intellectual disabilities or special education, we all have to go through a gamut of developmental needs, pediatrics, evaluations. Our children are often bullied or easy targets. We have to go through some sort of parent training, some sort of parent group, which is a lacking in our school right now. Our SEPTA has to come back. It has to be supported because we should have a group within the PTAs at our school. Another thing is that when you talk about choices, and every child has an individualized plan, and it's for a reason, because every child has a different situation happening, and it can be a combination of things. And mental health is one of the biggest one in that component process. So we have to acknowledge that services is critical, because the rise of autism in our community continues to rise. That's why we have to think differently. We have to be inclusive. We have to have empathy, and we have to have representation of our community in the school boards, because that's how we're going to move forward. That's how we're going to have a participant that looks like you. I speak Spanish fluently. I've worked in the police department as a special investigator at 1PP. I know how to get the job done. When the green screen asked me about a bus, I went and called the company and found out, hey, what kind of bus can we use? Oh, we can use a renewable propane bus. Oh, how much does that cost? Okay, got the answer, provided the number, gave them the information. You know, we're looking for 5 buses? Okay, you know, so now we got options besides the electrical bus. Okay, now, in that same renewable propane can be used on our current fleet. And it is zero carbon emission. Okay, so now we're, you know, moving forward, right, with the initiatives that the community has. We just got an award the other day for the initiatives of providing a better, greener Warwick. Okay, today is Mental Health Month. We have right now in the green, we're talking about, you know, mental health. Agencies are there. People are there. Okay. Why? Because we need these services. Yeah, so I totally agree with both members today that are speaking. You know, and when it comes to law enforcement, we need that training. We need both the SROs as well as the regular PD to be trained with autism and training on our police officers. And the other day, I found out that we have a sensor in each door that they sends an immediate notification to our SROs. I would like that technology to be now included in our regular PD, because every minute that of a response count, is important. So the two things are education and mental health, and with security. So and that's where I'm at with that.
All right, Luis, thank you very much. And these are the other three candidates that are running for a position on the Warwick Valley Central School District School Board. There are three incumbents. They all want to get back on the board. There's a total of six people running. Obviously, it's a wonderful position to be in and really help out the community. Not a paid position. These people are devoting their time, effort, and energy to make your community a better place. Try to keep taxes down, try to get the right education for the kids, and make it all work for everybody out there. When we come back, we're going to do closing remarks from everybody. So get those prepared. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come right back and wrap it up.
Sam's Meat Warehouse is a butcher with old-time family values. Remember back in the day when people knew their butcher by name and visiting them was a social experience? They would talk to customers about how to cook a piece of meat to perfection. Sam's combines old-world methods with modern techniques. Call your favorite butcher, Sam's, at 845-651-MEAT or visit the store right off 17A in Florida, New York for the highest quality products at unbeatable prices.
This is Chris Molinelli, Executive Director of Honor. Honor has been providing hope through hospitality since 1974. Our services include temporary housing, clothing, food, and a safe environment, along with a 20-bed inpatient rehab facility, all with dignity while teaching self-esteem. Honor also offers runaway and homeless teens a safe place called a friend's house, providing the necessities so they can begin their life. So if you or someone you know are in need, please visit honorhelpingothers.org for more information and let us help.
Hi, this is Tom Fursey. Sing along and relive the memories of the 1980s on The Magic of the 80s. Saturday night starting at 6 on WTBQ, playing the best music.
Magic of the 80s. WTBQ.
We're meeting the candidates today. Warwick Valley Central School District Board of Education. The budget vote taking place on Tuesday, May the 16th. Polls open at 7 o'clock in the morning. Got all the way up till 9 o'clock at night to go and place your vote. Very important, because your vote does count really big in the smaller elections, because there's not as many people that are eligible to vote. So get out there and do your part. It's Dory Masefield. We have Luis Abramson and Angel Masonette with us today. We're going to do closing remarks from everybody, and we're going to start right now with Dory.
So during this hour, I've had the chance to discuss a lot of the positive aspects of our schools and the successes that I've been a part of as a school board member for the last 9 years. Warwick has experienced a level of growth in enrollment that's exceptional in this region, and we've done this while remaining fiscally responsible. But despite our success, we have to always look for improvements. We need to continually evaluate and adjust what we're doing based on the goals of the district and the changing needs of society and the world around us. And that means putting people in place who are qualified and share the same vision of educational excellence. As a board, we have been putting our pride and our special agendas aside, and we have always had the best interests of our students first, not only their educational experience in the classroom, but also extracurricular activities and mental health and personal safety. Examples of that, this week as a board member and a chair of the facilities committee, I was meeting with engineers to discuss ongoing security enhancements at our schools. We're talking about how to harden all school buildings, which means installing windows and doors that don't crumble when they're shot or hit, like a school guard glass, and also having cameras so that you can see the full body of people that are visiting. We're always looking for ways to reimburse these security enhancements, and we're looking at the SAFE Act to help pay for this. Administration also recently met with faculty and staff to evaluate and look for ways to improve the supports in place for special educational students. And they anticipate adding more special ed staff to be sure that we're meeting all the needs of the students. I'm a lifelong educator. I know the value of a good education, and I want to continue to work to provide this for all of our students. I want to continue to provide transparency and to build trust between the community, the school board, and the administration to be sure that we're always doing the most with all of our tax dollars and putting students first. Thank you very much.
That is Dori Masefield. Up next with our closing comments, we'll hear from Luis Abramson.
Oh, sure. All I want to say is that it's very important that we continue to have transparency, that we show that how much is the usage of the sensory room or the timeout room. That we look at if our aides are actually being trained and how many times a year is that going on. You know, that we look at, you know, is the right support there for our special needs teachers. And I think that, and when we look at, you know, buying buses, you know, we also have to, you know, look at, okay, what supports do we have? Do we have the EPA with $5 billion in it? You know, can we put a grant, you know, proposal in there to get some money to offset the cost? You know, is the governor going to give us some money to reduce on that? And what options of buses do we have? You know, we have to really look at what the parents want, you know, and if the parents are asking that they need, you know, support, they need parent training, they need, you know, support groups, they need the SEPTA back. You know, these are all items on the table that need to be discussed. And we need to invest more than $300,000, you know, into special education and $20,000 into the education program. Because right now we're doing $1.4 million, you know, when it comes to Gen Ed, you know, and our programs are very demanding. I think that if you vote with me, you vote with confidence that you have an advocate, you have an ally, and I will be listening to what you have to say. Because when I get on there, I'll be elected to work for you.
All right, that is Luis Abramson and his closing remarks. We're going to turn the floor over now to Angel Masonette, and let's hear your closing remarks.
So what I would like to address is the smear campaign that is going on against myself and my fellow candidates. I would like to say that context is important, right? There's a video circulating about me that takes snippets of podcasts and other news media hits that I've done on social media and on mass media. I have been called racist. Okay, I'm Puerto Rican, grew up in the Bronx, raised by a single mom. I've been called racist. I've been called a brutal police officer. Okay, I was a patrol officer for 12 years in the Bronx, in one of the worst neighborhoods during the crack wars, okay, when the 90s and the 2000s. I was involved in over 2,000 arrests, over 1,000 that I made myself. I was in two shootings, okay? I delivered babies, one of which who basically died in my arms. I've been through it all. People are taking things out of context and making it seem that I'm sort of some sort of nasty, racist, non-empathetic individual, and there could be nothing further from the truth. I have an empathetic heart, and I have a protector's mindset. Okay, I want to protect our children physically and mentally. I resent the fact that people are coming after me on a personal level, and they're spreading rumors and lies about me. The same thing happened when I was on the police reform board, you know, because I didn't fall in line with what people wanted me to say because I was a Hispanic and they wanted me to say that this town was racist and that there's racism in policing. I was ostracized and attacked on a personal level. And I'm not going to allow that to happen without me defending myself. So I just want to say, listen, you go on the Warwick Parents page on Facebook. I advocated after the death of George Floyd. I spoke to people. I put a message out there about teaching children how to interact with the police, about how police need training, how the kids can be better trained when they're interacting with police. After school shootings, I've offered to stand in front of schools on my own time and protect our children physically, right, with my body. Okay, I'm not some racist monster that these people are making me out to be. I'm not leaving Warwick, okay? They put a Twitter post that I said that I was leaving because I was tired of New York. I am tired of New York. I'm tired of the New York politics. I'm tired of taxation without representation. As a conservative, I have the right to have a voice, and I want to protect our children, all of them, whether you lean left, right, or center, period.
All right, that is Angel Masonette. Luis Abramson is also running along with incumbent Dory Masefield. And, you know, just as a, you know, commentary on all of this, it's kind of amazing. It seems like just yesterday we were just talking about getting on the board. We're worried about what the kids are eating in school or what kind of clothing they're wearing to school. Nowadays, special education, more kids need that than they ever have before. Security, hatred, politics, smear campaigns, internet abuse. Man, where have we gone in the last 20 years, right? And where are we headed? I hear that from everybody. We hear that a lot on the radio. And it's kind of a shame that has to be the top issues, but it is. And it's good to see that all you as candidates will be addressing that, keeping the kids safe and providing a good education while not overtaxing the people that live in the town. It's kind of a hard thing to all mix these days. And with the government cutting back funding and everything else and school bus, crazy stuff going on. I'm sure all three of you guys are going to do a great job if you are elected. I want to remind everybody that the polling locations for Warwick, District 1 will be in the Pine Island Firehouse, District 2, Dorothy C. Wilson Education Center. District 3 will be in King's School. The election is going to take place Tuesday, May the 16th, 7 a.m. till 9 p.m. These are important issues that these folks are all talking about today. All the candidates, also the ones we spoke with earlier, Adrian Taviter, Bob Howe, and John Garcia. So once again, guys, thanks and gals, thanks for coming in today and providing some insight into this upcoming election. Wish you all the best of luck.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a break and come back. We've got music for the afternoon. You keep it here with us, WTBQ Radio, right after a look at the weather.